CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. We are here. We are live. It is Thursday, the 9th of September. Oof. Before you blink, it's going to be Christmas. I hate to say that, but you know it's true, right? Like, you're going to be looking at the year and you'll be going, so what did I want to achieve this year? Oh, shit, there goes the year. Sorry, we're not going to be able to achieve anything. Sorry, it's done. You've got nothing done. You had a bullshit year, and it's going to be, you're going to be going, what? We just started. What the hell happened here? Pumi nods her head like the wise sage. She knows. Yeah, that's what I knew you would get this straight away because you're used to this. You're like, and I think things go faster the busier you are. Like, I think the only people who ever have lots of time on their hands are people who are bored
and doing absolutely nothing.
Lebang, good morning. We have
morning.
We have a full house this morning. Lebang Khosana. We've got Pumi Mashiho. I've already mentioned is going to be on the show with us today and with us on the Burning Platform a little bit later on. And Bulelo is in the studio in Johannesburg, keeping things afloat along with Simpiwe and Khomolemo. And we've got a hell of a show for you this morning. We've got lots of things to get into. We've got some emails that are quite controversial, and we've got two guests which are going to both be running head to head. You know, the other day we had the two people who are running for Herman Mashaba's Action SA, Herman Mashaba himself, and the DA's mayoral candidate for Johannesburg, Paul, and the two of them are not the best of friends. They argued through about an hour of each other's time on Thursday last week or the week before. And this week we've got the two DA and the good party mayoral candidates, the most likely people to...
It's not DA.
Not?
The new party.
Oh, are you being sarcastic? Because I understood it was.
No.
Oh.
No, I am not.
Oh.
Guy.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was.
I found my homework here.
Okay, we got Brett Herron and Neil De Beer were the two people who are running for mayor of Cape Town. So it's a new party and the good party.
Uh-huh.
So
we're on a whistle-stop tour, guys.
Yeah,
we might have to get the Durban candidates.
I'm relying on you, Pumi. You go to KZN every other week, so you're the one to line those people up for us. All right, so
I was about to say, you guys doing like those debates? Is this what's happening on the Burning Platform now?
Yeah.
Just having like,
you remember?
You know, the candidates going head to head every single week. Just own the space, guys. It's yours.
You remember those ones that Vuyo Mbuli would do on SABC? He'd say, good morning to both of our candidates this morning. And then he'd have them go head to head on the.
Reedy now does the big debate.
She does. Hey.
Leading up to all elections.
Bulelo and I were talking about Reedy going after Duduzile Zuma the other day. Yo. No,
it
prisoners.
It's actually Dudu who started it.
Yeah, I know.
It's Dudu who started it, though.
But did you watch that thing?
Yo.
Hmm.
What am I missing?
Somebody's going to have to tell Lebang what happened there, because if you missed this thing, you see, that's the nice thing about Twitter is like everybody gets into a froth about what happens on Twitter, but like 3 days later, no one even remembers.
It's like I'm still busy listening to Donda versus, you know, Certified Lover Boy, and other things are happening. What else could be, you know, happening?
Well, I always say to companies...
You see my money dissing Donda.
That was very, very funny.
So you
I
see,
love that.
We barely started the show. We're like 3 or 4 minutes in, and already we've got like massive controversies mounting. All right. First of all, I always talk to companies and say to them when they, you know, they're in some kind of social media issue. I say to them, just wait. In fact, Pumi, that was your advice to me. I remember when you sat me down like... Was it 5 years ago or whatever when I was going through that shit with Mnet and everything? And you said to me, just wait this round out. Just like sit down. You think you've been knocked out, but you're going to get back up. Just sit it out. And I remember that was the best advice I received. And the same thing applies to all these companies. They shit themselves about something that happens on Twitter. Like they're 5 people, and then it becomes 20 people, and they start thinking their whole business is crumbling. And the next week, no one even remembers what it was about. So Duduzile started the whole thing. She went after Reedy Tlabi because Reedy, You remember Reedy wrote that book about Fezeka, the girl who Jacob Zuma is supposed to have raped, but was found,
raped,
that was found not guilty. Anyway, Reedy was the brave woman who went and found her story, told her story, and decided this is not good enough. This is another example of how men just become the leads in these horrible tales, and the women just get stamped all over and run all over. And she told the story, I think, quite passionately and compassionately. Anyway, she ended up in this fight with Duduzile about the quality of the character of Jacob Zuma, and both of them were throwing really mean, really vicious comments at each other about, oh, so Duduzile made the allegation that Reedy had been to visit Jacob Zuma when she was a journalist and that something more might have happened. Which I think is a hell of a thing to say about, first of all, your father.
Whoa.
Yeah, and second of all, someone like Reedy, who you know is not going to just take that lying down.
Yeah, Reedy's not about that life.
Sure. And it just, it escalated from there to the point where both of them were basically saying, you are just trash, and don't say that about me because you don't know what you're talking about. And
and then obviously all the bots climb in, right? So everybody's like, The fighting force that everything that the young twin puts out there, everything just, it was hectic, guys.
No, it was horrible.
It was hectic. And then all the people that support Reedy, everybody posting pictures of themselves with Reedy going, Reedy's actually unstoppable. She's actually unstoppable. She just wants everybody. Look at her in this picture with me, wanting me.
Because
one of, man, this was chaotic.
Oh, it was, but it's, you know,
it was messy.
I promise you, right now we're the only ones who are talking about it. There are not a lot of other people who are, because it's 4 days later or 3 days later. So shows you how quickly people move on.
Yep.
In all this rubble, Katlego has re-emerged, by the way. Shout out to the Outsurance people. Yeah. By the way, he's back. He did a whole.
Ha!
Really?
Yeah. He's back.
Didn't we cancel him?
No.
What has he done? No, seriously? Because I
have to get tired.
I'm pleased to hear that.
I feel like we definitely let go of him. Like, it was a wrap. We all said goodbye, Tulu, with your gown. Off you go.
Nah. Black Twitter gets tired. They'll move on to the next thing. There's always a new pair of sneakers or whatever people are up to out there. So he's back in the mix. He's back in the mix. Shout out to Katlego.
Wow.
But is he getting gigs, though? Is he actually, you know...
I know he was on a stage last week. I know how.
Good.
He's back.
Good.
Yes, good. Yes, good. Yeah. You should never have been fired in the first place.
Exactly.
Bloody useless.
I mean,
really? Interesting.
So,
okay.
So that lady, let's be charitable, that lady who went after him and published all that very embarrassing material about how he had brought an STD into their relationship, or he cheated or whatever.
I thought it was her brother.
Yeah, wasn't it the brother or the brother's sister's girlfriend's cousin's aunt's relative? Definitely somebody in the car.
Someone recorded that video and put it out there, so.
That was brilliant, though. Yeah, that was funny.
But so, you know what I've realized Twitter is like? Twitter is like a really messy family. Like, we're all in this messy family together.
Yeah.
They're like, they're the boozy uncles.
Oh, my God.
They're the shouty, gossipy aunts.
The rich aunts.
Like, we're all in this messy, messy, messy family.
The boozy
and
uncle.
You know when you have a lot of people at a family gathering?
Yeah.
Like, shit is bound to go down.
Yeah.
That's what happens on Twitter. We're like, I'm telling you guys, it's like...
And we're just walking in and out of different rooms, like in the kitchen when it's time to cook with Tito Mboweni. Then we go to the lounge when we need to listen to what Cyril has to say.
Oh,
and then we go to sleep, and then it's messy. People are bumping into each other. It's just chaos. That's why every single morning it's just violence.
Mm.
It's violence. Like, at some point, I can't wait for the word violence to phase out of like being a Twitter trend, because it's just a bit of a
late term.
It has to, though.
It will never.
Snaye says he's apparently, this is Katlego, he's suing his ex, her brother, the SAFTAs, and some NGO for reputational damage. That's pretty interesting stuff.
What,
I hope so.
Took so
it's apparently,
long?
It's apparently 4
what
million
took
rand.
So long?
Yeah, but you know, here's the problem, is that if you launch a legal action like I did against Mnet, remember, it costs you, even if you win, it costs you a lot of money. And
it's expensive.
And it takes time. So, you know, a guy who's at that stage, he'd lost all his gigs. What's he going to, who's he, you know, what money is he going to use to sue people? Now he has reason to, and he's going to, and I'm proud of him. Good. Take them down. Because just like those boozy uncles that Pumi refers to on Twitter and all the messy people on social media, those people can't be allowed to just get away with shit. I mean, you saw, even with the looting and the riots, there were all these people who were the ringleaders, and now they're starting to find them. Who knows if they've, you know, if this is just a politically expedient move on the part of some very, very nefarious operatives, but the reality is, like, people have to be responsible. Even if you're an anonymous egg on Twitter, we must be able to track you down and hold you responsible for your comments. Honestly, because if famous people like Katleho have to be held responsible for what they do and say, then so should ordinary people. And that will clean up a little corner of that house that Pumi rightly says is so messy. It'll clean it up to the point where everyone in the family realizes, ooh, people are watching us. We better behave. We better not.
I think somebody needs to be made an example of. Because right now, everybody's just running their mouths, or shall I say fingers, just a bit too much.
Yeah.
And it's seemingly like there's no consequences for the things that you say.
Right.
So if one person, just one, can be made an example of, then maybe people will reconsider the stuff that they post online. Because there's absolutely no accountability for some of the things that are being said.
That's correct. Can't argue with that. So here's an interesting point, and lots of people agreeing with Pumi's idea that Twitter is actually just a very toxic family, which is probably the best consideration we've given it for a long time. Subs says he broke the man rule, deny. He snitched on himself on camera. That makes no sense. And Tracy points out, like, an advocate, a good advocate, will cost you between 15,000 and 30,000 rand a day. And they don't just work for a day. You know, they're there for much longer than a day.
Now you know why Dali shows up for every case he's called to.
Ka-ching.
A lot of time, huh? A lot of time.
Pums, who do you think is earning most of the money from, first of all, any of these commissions of inquiry, whether it's the Zondo Commission or anything else? Because those lawyers are not...
It's always the lawyers. It's really promotional.
There we go.
It gets them more work on the other side. So it's like...
Exactly. And
they make tons of money.
The same goes for when there's a divorce or when there's a contractual breakdown in a relationship that's business. Or when
you know who else makes a lot of money out of all of those commissions? And
who?
Stenographers.
I don't know. I think they get a standard fee from the court, don't they?
Stenographers are there all day, every day, from the jump. And then afterwards, when all the recording is done, all of the transcriptions, come on, guy. That is, even if it's a standard fee, it's a hang of a lot
of
money.
But it's so much work. I mean, they have to sit there typing and trying not to fall asleep through some of the most boring testimony. I mean, how many people do you know, except for Pumi Mashiko here, who have watched as much of the Zondo Commission as she has? And you haven't even watched a quarter of it. Imagine being the person who has to type all that shit out while it's happening live in court. I would fall asleep straight away.
But you know that it's also those jobs, the non-glamorous jobs that actually make a lot of money. But like, you're an actor, you're getting like 5,000 rands a day or something, you know. Well, in Mzansi.
I was about to say 5,000 only, you know, in SA.
You're like getting 5,000. You know, because we don't have a big audience. Like musicians, you see. You see what happens to musicians. The glamorous jobs. Ain't that guy that's making the nuts and bolts.
Hey, that guy's making money.
Every single thing that's got a nut and a bolt in it. Come on. Come on.
Yep.
Stenographers.
Well,
don't sleep on it.
I had a bit of an ulterior motive this morning by waking Puelebang up and making her join us. I wanted her to meet Pumi, but I also thought it would be a fun kind of... you know, cat among the pigeons, because we are going to change up the show again soon, and the days may change, and Bulelo might not be here every morning going forward. So I wanted to just, you know, throw some new ingredients into the mix of food that we all indulge in the mornings. And you must let us know, please, what you'd also like to hear more of. We're always keen to hear from you. You can do that. Just send me an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com. So I got this email from Barcelona. Someone called Karen. Karen says, "Hey, Gareth and team, I avoid news as much as I can because you know you can't trust it and it's depressing as fuck." Those are the actual words. "I signed up to your newsletter back in the day and skimmed over it now and then. When the looting happened, I found myself clicking on your podcast and have been listening daily ever since." So this is a new listener. Welcome, Karen. "Boy, have I been missing out on years of good stuff. Living in Barcelona, but proudly South African, it is comforting and a great connection with home to listen to you guys every day. I have realized that I have the same views as you do on some things, and it's reassuring that someone with your status thinks about the same that I do with regards to lockdown, COVID, social media, crime, government, that kind of thing. I listen to the show while I walk in the streets to do errands, as you do here on the metro, and I find myself laughing out loud. You crack me up. That must be a nice life. I actually know someone who's just moved to Barcelona, and I think that must be a great place to live. There are not a lot of places in the world you can say that about, but I fell in love with that place the first and only time I saw it, and I think it must...
Look what I'm wearing today.
I'm jealous. Oh, there we go. You're wearing your Barca top. Nice. So, Karen says, "I'm learning so many things listening to you guys. I learned about the Devil's Door murders the other day and mukbang," which, yes, we've covered both of those subjects. "And lastly, your show was always my favorite as a teenager when I used to listen and you were on radio. And I remember going to a party in Edward Street in Cape Town where you were DJing. The good old days." Nice. So, Karen, nice email. And you can tell us what you want more of, what you think you like less of. And we will take it all seriously and see what we can do to keep jumping up on the quality standard. And I know Bulelo's doing the same with what's going on Cliff Central Sport. What do you got on this afternoon, Bulelo? You've always got good shit happening there.
Yeah, we've got Kerry Keating, so we have him every Thursday. We'll talk all things college sports, and yeah, so he's the second in a dynastic family who changed the shape of Kansas University. So yeah, he'll be joining us every Thursday if you're into the NBA, college Very football. Nice. He was a legendary college college basketball coach himself. So, yeah, a little bit of that.
And yeah. you met him through another listener of ours. So this is what happens on this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Connection.
An avid listener.
Yes.
A fan of yours, Gareth. So.
Very good. Well, listen, the more people we can bring to the family, the better. And remember to like and subscribe, people, because we do not do this for our health.
Smash the like button.
You know. You have to do the voice as well.
Do it properly for us then. You know how this goes.
I'm always your lab rat, and I'm here for it. Thank you so much for listening to or watching our channel. So please make sure that you like and subscribe so you get all the updates. Here's the buttons right here. Put the button on. And thank you. Hey, I love you.
I love it. That's exactly right. That's how it goes. So,
yep.
What's been happening, Pumelele?
Because guys, I think I have to like rush upstairs to check if my child woke up for school. I don't think he's awake. I can't hear a damn thing.
I'll be back now. We understand. We'll let you go and do that. No worries. So while Pums is doing that, I believe that it has been well for you anyway. It's been a bit of a rough time, Lebang, because the debt collectors, or rather the people who are after your bills, are after you, which is not an unusual situation for many of us, especially in the middle of the month and towards the beginning of the month when you haven't necessarily sorted out all those bills. So this is the worst thing. I hate it when I look at my phone on the first, second, third, and you just see those amounts coming off like this.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. And you just sit there and you're like, okay, I recognize that. And then you start to not recognize a few. But it happens all the damn time. So I just don't understand why they call at 7 o'clock in the morning, number one. Ugh. Like, I'm definitely sleeping. Mm-hmm. You can call me at alarm lunch. I've got a life or something. And then even on Saturdays, they'll call at like 8 a.m. And you're like, guys, what do you think I'm doing? In your opinion, I know you're at work. Yeah. But what do you think I'm doing? Am I just sitting around waiting for this call? So long story short, a couple of years ago, I got majorly, like hugely scammed. I think out of something close to like 40,000 rand. And in that situation, out of desperation, yeah, it was quite sad. I don't even want to get into it because I might cry. So out of desperation, I ended up going to a cell phone company and taking out like two contracts right there on the spot because I needed to make up for having gotten scammed. So cool, everything was fine for like the first hour, for the first year when I was working, and then I got retrenched. And then the phone call started coming in. I was like, all right, cool, let's make a plan. And things were okay. So now I'm still paying that debt off.
Yeah.
And there's times when I'm just like, I did collect, I've got Truecaller. I can see it's you calling me. I'm not going to answer this call because I know what you want. I know you want your money, and I don't have money.
Yeah.
So what must happen, you know? But yesterday I answered. And I answer the call. I'm like, hi, I called them by name because I've got their name. Yeah. All their numbers are safe. Hi, Smug Mums Association, how are you? And then the lady was like, hi, this is Lisa from... I'm like, I know. Let's get to the point. You want your money? I'll send it on the 15th. Thank you, bye. The end. No, but I need to read out... I know what you're going to say because I've had this conversation so many times. God. So I'm just at that point where I'm like, man, can I just like not have to deal with these people? Their timing is just always off.
Yeah,
like right now, I won't be surprised if they call immediately, like right now.
But this is what they do because the people who – I think there's like a code that they all follow. There's something they subscribe to. And in that code, it says – always call at the time when you know they're cooking supper, they're waking up, they're still asleep. Over a weekend on a Sunday morning at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Unsuspecting.
Yeah.
In the unsuspecting moments, that's when you catch them.
What in the Nazi is going on?
I know.
Like, I don't think it's cool at all. I'm at the family table having dinner with my... You barge in the door looking for your money. I just think there's a way that you can get it out of me. And... yeah, it's a bit invasive for me.
But they do it on purpose because then you're not thinking about it. You just usually pick up your phone because you've got a bunch of stuff happening, or you've just woken up and you don't know what the hell is going on. You think, oh, emergency, and that's when they get.
Mm.
If you have a moment to think about it, they you know, they obviously they know that you're going to just ditch the call right there and then.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Oh my God.
But also they're just doing a job, so it always helps to just kind of be like, thank you for calling. Did you all get paid last month? Well, somebody else's turn this month. Like, wait in line. Sit down.
And I'm surprised, even with your Truecaller, that you know it's them, because Jean is pointing out, and it's a good thing, like the fact that they call from so many different numbers is even more annoying. I don't have – what I get is the insurance salespeople and the cell phone people who are like, do you want to upgrade your contract? But like every single – month without fail, I get that call.
The pre-recorded messages. The one thing I'm so happy about this like local election is I'm not getting like the pre-recorded Musi Maimane. Hello.
That was such a bad move. I wonder how many votes, because you see the politicians think, well, if we can just get in front of them, they'll love us because they've sewed up their own asses. But the fact is, if you're enjoying your day, and maybe you're not even enjoying your day. Maybe you're just busy and you actually don't have time for this shit. And you get, hi, this is Musi Maimane. If you want to vote for me. And I mean, do me a favor. Like, first of all, it wasn't just Musi. There were others as well. But he was the most annoying. Somehow thinking that's...
How did they get my number?
But also...
Number one, let's start there.
And thinking, well, apparently we're all on databases and you can buy our numbers. So...
yeah.
I thought that this was the whole point of like FICA and like protection
and Poppy,
personal information.
Poppy and
well,
there's like
Poppy.
Why
only,
are you calling me, Negro?
Remember, Poppy only came into play I think 2 months or 3 months ago. So that was before Poppy.
But there was something else. There was something else beforehand, before Poppy. So Poppy is an updated kind of version of it. There was like supposed to be some kind of rule against like phoning me up and offering me credit. There was supposed to be there were rules.
The credit protection.
They'll always put that in the fine print. Like, click here if you don't want us to call you for blah blah. You'll click, but really it's all just fluff. They've got your details. Once you find up, like they literally just put that all into one massive Excel spreadsheet and sell it off to like everybody. So it is what it is.
And Onkhopot is basically saying what I was going to say. Getting that call actually deterred me from voting for them. See, they think that's going to make you want to vote for them. If I can just get my voice on their phone, then they'll all vote for me. Bullshit, you're wrong. Onkhopot is right. Like, that puts people off. And the other one that...
But there's people that it works. Yeah, like, there's people that will be like, oh my word, who's this calling me? So? Yes! And that's what they're counting on. Yeah, you know which people, Garrett.
I'm sorry. I don't know who you're talking about because I've never met someone that fucking irritating or stupid.
But me, you know who I'm talking about. Mbulelo?
Let the record state I said nothing.
So, Jim says, they think by calling me for my TV license, they're going to mobilize me into paying it. What would make me pay the SABC for anything? Shame. I just feel sorry for the people who have to make those calls because they're working. It's their job. But they get all the anger and all the vitriol, you know? So you get that call and you think it's the actual SABC you're dealing with, and it isn't. So you're like, what do you want? Go to hell. I'm not paying you ever. Blah, blah, blah. Put the phone up. Meanwhile, some lady or some guy who's been hired in a big call center, and their job is, you have to phone Pumi, you have to phone Lebang, you have to phone Mbulelo, you have to phone
10 Garrett. Numbers.
Yeah, and that poor person, just, they brace themselves, and they call you, and they know they're going to get chatted. Yeah.
Working in call centers is possibly one of the hardest things, right? That's why they have such a high turnover of staff.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine? So, you know, it happened to a whole lot of people that work in call centers during the lockdowns, and even now to some extent because of the kind of work from home hybrid,
yeah.
You know, so you don't go into the office every day, is they had to get cell phones and data so that they can reroute. So you're at home in your own bloody house and you have to make these calls anyway. And they get like, you know, you get a list of like your 25 or whatever number of people. They know that this is the script. You should be taking about this amount of money, this amount of time on the phone. Therefore, on an average day, you should call 50 people. Guys, it's like a salt mine.
And there's some really, really horrible people out there. Like, some people literally will swear at you and tell you where to get off. So having to deal with that all the time while you're at home in your sanctuary, I'd be pretty, like, pissed off. At least, like, when I'm in the office, I can block it out and be like, cool, this is where it's at. Then I leave all of that mess at the office and go home. But now,
but also with lots of other people. Like, when you're at the call center, there's, like, all get the abuse, all doing the same thing, or you know, when you're in your house, you're all by yourself with like homeschooling on the one side and all that.
A job like that will probably drive you crazy if you do it for too long because you're not dealing with people who want to hear from you. And even if you think you're strong, Bulelo, I'm going to address this to you because you're a pretty strong character. It takes a lot to get you down. And, I mean, I know you don't respond most of the time to negative feedback the way that the average person might, okay? If you had to get that much negativity from people that you don't even know on a daily basis, I mean, like, nonstop, and you can't tune it out. Like, you can delete Twitter from your phone or whatever, but you can't avoid this because it's your job. It's your actual job. I think it would take a huge toll, don't you?
That's why lawyers don't do anything for free. They're the real ones because I'm yet to meet anybody who goes to a lawyer when things are going well. Very, very rarely. And even people that get married don't go to the lawyer and say, excuse me,
I love
this person.
Yeah.
Let's write down all the things that are going to happen when it goes well. What do they say in the agreement? In case we get divorced, should the company, you know what I mean? So it must be murder. It must be the fact that that's your only way to put bread on the table as well is what sucks, you know? Like, in
look
our
at Cindy
world.
Siwe.
Yeah, Cindy Siwe says, I literally had panic attacks every day from working in a call center.
Makes sense.
Poor it you. I really, sense. That's just horrible. That's just horrible. Stink Mina is saying, Bulelo, thank God we just heard you now. That you're quiet. Are you okay? He's fine. Yondan Diggy says, talking about the Poppy Act isn't revealing and posting people on social media is a crime now. So shouldn't these Twitter rats be charged? Well, you see, like, even in a criminal activity, someone has to lay a charge. And if it's a civil activity, then you have to be the one who brings an action. So if you're not going to do that as an individual, nothing happens. Like, no one's going to do it for you. So if someone gives you the gears, like poor old Katlego, which I'm glad is turning the tide, if he didn't decide, okay, I've had enough of this now, I'm fighting for myself, then nothing would happen.
But also, having said that, can celebrities stop whinging about people being mean to them on social media? You don't have to be on social media. Like, get off social media, because people are mean in real life.
Yeah.
Like, people are very mean in real life, by the way. And if they haven't been, you're some sort of trust fund kid that's never been in real life. Yeah. It's get off social media. Stop whinging. Like, I'm so sick and tired of hearing, my mental health because of my Instagram inbox. What? No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Get off social media and go and sit in your cream puff house then. Like, I'm so revolted by us giving celebrities an easy ride now and athletes. Like, stop. Let's stop now.
This guy takes no prisoners.
It's that thing that Gareth always says, that, like, there's an obsession with being liked. Mm. And celebrities, most of them, are literally at that place all the time. Have you seen how much they kiss each other's asses on IG in the comments? No. When you see, like, your favorite celebrity post something, if you have one, the comments directly underneath is other celebrities going, oh my God, you look so perfect. Oh my God, I love this. And you sit there and you're like, come on, it's an okay pick. Come on, Felicia, or whoever it is. Yeah. So they have this crazy obsession with being liked. So if somebody with 20 followers is going to call them out on something, they can't deal with that. How dare that person call them out on their perfect life? So they are just a special, special breed.
Yep. And there is the problem. It's like these people wake up every day trying to show that their life is perfect. And then when someone treats them with anything but love and respect, they fall apart completely, it seems.
So, they don't know how to act.
Yeah, you can't have it both
ways. And Pumi could probably speak to this. I mean, you've got a teenage child. Is that I don't know what's being imbibed into kids now. Is it's like with my little nephew, again, is... Mm. Just because, by the way, everybody can be mean to you. You're not special. Yep. And I think I told you a while ago where my little cousin or nephew started telling me he's under pressure. I'm like, Paul, you live in Eagle Canyon and you went to Hilton College. Honestly, I wanted to smack him through the phone. And then he's like melting, right? Is that, it's why I always say, if you can afford it, send your kids to boarding school. Don't pick up the phone because they're going to get smacked by some farm kid. And realize that people can be mean, and it's fine. People can be mean. It's fine. So Pumi, for you, I don't know how your child deals with any sort of meanness, because it just seems like immediately, oh, my God, my mental health, how dare you?
I'm just going to jump in quickly, because Pumi is not the kind of parent who would say to their kid, everything's always going to be fine and everybody's always going to love you and you have a right to be loved. Am I right, Pums? I mean, like, that's step number one. Like, give your child a realistic bit of advice.
So, also, he's lucky because he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Most of his friends are nice to him. But that's the thing. You just say to him, listen, dude. Just, like, get over it. Also, stay away from those people. If people make you feel bad, stay away from that person.
Right.
Just don't let them follow you. Block
them. Keep it moving, yeah.
Right.
Like, choose your battle. Choose where you want to be, because that you have control over. You have control over you and what you do. You have no control over this person over there or the next person. So you can't make them do what you want them to do. So you have to do something to change your situation. That's like...
Listen,
I
just saw the time. we got to do some headlines. Do you want to know what's going on in the world? I mean, you leave us alone, we'll keep talking forever about stuff like this. But I've just got to quickly go into some of the news stories, just so that we know what's going on in the world. I don't want us to be the people who are not paying attention, head in the sand, bullshit people. So first of all, this is from IOL, which is a dubious source at best. But apparently, senior managers in the Etekwini municipality are in line to receive performance bonuses for their outstanding performance in running the city in the past 3 years. However, the decision has been slammed by opposition parties who describe the move as irrational, saying the senior managers were underperforming in their respective roles. I don't know if you've been to Etekwini, Durban any time in the last couple of months, but if that place has been running in an outstanding fashion, then I haven't seen it. So somebody tell me what the hell. outstanding? Does it mean something different to what I think it means?
No, well, what are the targets? We're making this assumption because you're thinking, oh, they've probably got standards like Discovery and HSBC. So I'd like to know, what are the requirements for them to be outstanding? Because maybe the standards are show up on time. And they did that once in 365 days. Sebenzi lebafit on us.
Yeah, it really could just be like that. The bar is just incredibly low. And maybe they've gotten a little bit better from last year. A little bit better. And therefore, you deserve a bows in the form of a bonus.
Listen here, bonuses in private sector happen when you perform exceptionally, when the profits have gone through the roof. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Like, are they collecting their rates and services? Are they delivering to people? You know, does the bottom line of their municipality, does the bottom line look better this year than it did last year? Chances are not. Why? Because we've got an economy that's like not growing. Like, that's it. There's no...
I'm just like, laughing. I'm still laughing about Mbulelo. Seven zile baba. Bonas.
Yeah. Yes.
That was probably the conversation.
And listen, black people need to have a conversation. It's for real.
No, but it's not just black people. Thing. In South Africa, it's there a lot of useless white people in jobs as well, whether it's private or public. Public sector, obviously, because, you know, the ANC has become like a jobs for pals scheme. So obviously a lot of ANC people who've been creeping around. I mean, I looked at all those people complaining outside Luthuli House. And you know what? Frankly, whatever work is in Luthuli House, I don't know. I mean, if you ask those people, like, what do you actually do on a daily basis? They probably wouldn't be able to tell you. Like, if you ask, what's your job description at Luthuli House, to any of those people, please, can a real journalist go down there and say to them, all right, listen, we're on your side. We don't like it when someone doesn't get paid for the work they've done. Obviously, that's wrong, because you've got bills to pay, you've got family to look after, etc. And you thought you had a job here. But can you just tell the people of South Africa, what job did you have inside Luthuli House? Because we all really want to know. We're curious. So a part of me goes, well, listen, there are a lot of useless people in South Africa who get paid not just their normal salary, but expect that 13th check or that bonus regardless of how they deliver, right? In every company, there's always one or two. In every public sector job, there's even more than one or two. And I think those people just, we've become a nation that expects like a handout. Like, you,
yeah,
just for pitching up, Mbulelo, as you said, like, you pitch up one day out of 365 and you're like, bonus.
I've made it. And really, you can't, you're right, it's not a race thing. No, I know a couple of white people that I went to school with that literally just got out of, after matric, went straight into the business because they know somebody who knows somebody, and they do fuck all, but they're management. In like 2 years, they're management. And people that have studied are now working under them. Like, it's a South African thing of which we need to just
you've missed my
find
point
a way.
That it's not about being useless. It's the timekeeping thing. The only black people in this country that I want us to take example from is people that are maids. Maids are always on time, and I have soft middle-class dickheads saying, traffic, but, oh, I say, this lady catches, I've never had a maid who was late. Yeah. She's got five taxis, eight. She's knocking at the door to let me know she's here, actually.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry, I'm late, bro. Traffic. You know how it is, bro. Plus the potholes around where I live in four is just...
Traffic lights not working.
Do me a favor, pal.
Exactly.
Do me a favor. So.
What a lot of shit. I couldn't agree more. All right, so talking about the headlines, apparently, according to this story, and, you know, I mean, let's just take it seriously for a second. There is a massive outcry about these eThekwini managers, and the report on the performance rewards was tabled before and approved by a full council. The report scores the official for their performance over three financial years, which was 2017, 18, 19, okay? So they're getting paid, you know, for the years they've already performed outstandingly. Among the people is former city manager Sipho Ndzuza, unfortunate name that, and Zandile Gumede, who of course received that very nice tender. So it lists the city manager for human settlement, engineering and transport, as well as chief operations officer, and the trading services DCM. You see, that's the kind of title nobody really knows what it is. Trading services DCM. district council manager, maybe?
Don't even like hurt yourself.
I mustn't try.
Don't hurt yourself.
So apparently these people are getting these nice big payouts because they are outstanding. That's what they tell us. It's great stuff, that. All right. Didi Mabuza, who I know, Pums, you and I are slightly obsessed with, because how can someone like this, talk about a useless person, be taking their salary as, by the way, a deputy president's salary is good money. This guy said the country's economy will perform much better if more people were vaccinated, which may or may not be true. But coming from him, this is probably a bad argument for vaccination, just because it comes from him.
I read that headline a couple of times. I kept reading it and kept thinking something. And then I went into the article. And then I was like, it's perplexing, really. It's crazy.
On Wednesday morning, he led a launch of a government campaign targeted at the sporting and creative industries in Johannesburg. So, Bulelo, you're at the crossover of sporting and creative. Did you get a personal WhatsApp or a recorded phone message from Didi Mabuza? Did he come over to your studio when you were filming the other day and offer to be a guest? Have you heard
from
him?
He told me that if we all get vaccinated on Twitter, he said, if we all get vaccinated, we can fill up the FNB stadium. Yes. And Paulo Diaz, shout out to him from the 80s show, said that stadium's never full.
Yeah.
So stop lying.
Yeah.
So, but they did say that if you're fully vaccinated, you can get a free ticket to go and watch Bafana Bafana in Ethiopia.
Hey, I would pay to not watch Bafana Bafana. So, in fact, what can I pay to not go there? I'll pay to stay away. Forget going there. No chance.
Yes, listen, Bulelo, no, you're looking for trouble with people now. Here's something going on. Imagine being a South African prison. In a South African prison, and I can tell you, those are some of the worst places I've ever been in my life, just because I went there to do a show once at CMAX in Pretoria, right? And let me tell you something. Prisons are not a laughing matter. They are a disastrous place to find yourself, whether you have been wrongfully accused or if you're guilty as sin. I do feel sorry for you, because prison in this country is horrendous. The food is bad. The conditions are appalling. The things that happen to you in there are just unspeakably terrible. And now they say, this is the news from ENCA, there is mismanagement and maintenance problems at least 7 of South Africa's crumbling prisons. According to the African Criminal Justice Reform Organization, They say that the places are dilapidated and there isn't even running water or good sewerage in a prison. It couldn't be worse, frankly. ENCA then showed viewers the dilapidated state of the Joburg Prison's remand center. And you know what correctional services say? Nothing. They say nothing. Because this is not... Do you remember, Pums? You may remember this. I don't know if Lebang and Bulelo are too young to remember Golden Miles Boodoo. You remember him?
I had a conversation about him just the other day.
So Golden Miles Boodoo was probably the only person in this country who really got out there and fought for, like, prisoners' rights, because that's not a popular subject. Most people are like, let them rot.
He's still around somewhere.
Yeah, I hope so, because...
He's still around somewhere in a political party. I think he formed some kind of political formation. But, guys...
I mean...
That man was dedicated.
He was, and... I understand the argument that, like, if they're prisoners, they should rot. I mean, prison should be unpleasant, but if you haven't been to a prison, you haven't seen a prison, then you probably are blissfully unaware of how absolutely disgraceful the lives of people at that level of society. It doesn't get worse than that. Happen to be. And you need someone with a good conscience, someone who really does care, fighting for those things, because you and I aren't going to do it, right? It's not a popular subject, and nobody really cares. Nobody cares. And that Golden Miles Boodoo used to do that stuff. So correctional services just won't even explain themselves. They're not even answering questions. Typical.
You know, there's a show on, I think, Netflix, on, like, the worst prisons in the world.
Yes.
Like, and they go to all in fact, it's not worse prisons. They just look at prisons around the world because
I've seen it.
There is one. There's one, and I want to say it's in one of the Nordic countries. That's just like, it's like a hotel. Mm. You can go to work and come back.
There's a studio there. There's a library. There's like a kitchen. It's a dormitory. It just feels like a frat house with a bunch of. It's a rehabilitation center, actually.
And the South African prison that they showed was quite bad. It was terrible. But then they went to Lesotho, guys.
Oh, really?
It gets worse. It gets worse.
Yo, the prisoners have to cook for themselves. They cook like the slop that's like runny pap on an open fire in a big pot outside, like one of those drifuts. Like the prisoners have to cook for themselves, and it's like beans and pap mixed together. It's prison is not supposed to be a nice place, but it still has to be humane. It still has to be a humane experience. It is, you know, it is some kind of like punishment and rehabilitation. Mm. But guys, the things happening out there in the world, and South Africa is just like in the race to the bottom.
It's awful, awful stuff. One last quick headline. Yes, go ahead.
Other prison that I remember where it's like a 2-in-1. So you decide which part of the prison you want to be at. There's like the really, really crappy side where it's just like open and cold and every man for himself, and it's like drug ridden. And then there's the other side where it's like rehabilitation. They're really focusing on turning your life around. So based on your behavior as an inmate, you get to decide, you know, if you want to get upgraded to VIP, if you want to stay, you know, for the rest of your life. And I like that concept because ultimately then it's your choice. It's in your hands. You're still in prison, but you've got the choice of, okay, cool, I want to get out of here a better person, or I'm happy to just remain. So there's different ways to tackle it.
God, how awful. You know what else is awful is that Rihanna, you know, she's been trying to sue her father.
No, enough said. That is awful. Rihanna, that's awful.
No. Mulelo, rest.
That headline, that's enough. Yeah.
We'll just,
Mulelo, rest.
You know, when we started working with Mbulelo, we kept a list of all the things he hates. And that list was so long, eventually, we just decided we'd rather make a list of things he doesn't hate. Rihanna and her father are embroiled in a legal battle, and she's finally decided she's going to drop the case. A couple of days before they were going to meet in court. So she accused her father of misusing her name to benefit his own entertainment company. She sued him in 2019 for false advertising and invasion of privacy. She also said he had tried to book her on an overseas tour without her permission.
You know who Rihanna should be suing? She should be suing every single hair salon in Joburg CBD. Because her picture is there as the go-to girl. Like, if you go to CBD, Chris Brown, Rihanna, Ludacris, they are the faces that you see. You walk in and you say, I want Rihanna. That's who she should be suing. She should let her dad do his thing, right?
Oh, my God. That's Rihanna. Hilarious. Is that what they ask for, hey?
Speaking of which,
Rihanna.
Shout out to Britney. Britney's free, by the way. Shout out to that guy a couple of years ago who said, leave Britney alone. Well, her father has just done that. I mean, are we not, at least I am, waiting for the meltdown, the Britney Spears meltdown, where she has 18 Teslas, you know, 5 monster trucks. Because now dad is now, obviously, he's the conservatorship's over. He's now said, okay, you got what you wanted. Twitter has won. Oh, the Britney Spears meltdown. Here we go. I cannot wait for it. I'm absolutely here for it.
No, man.
It is coming.
She's not going to meltdown.
She is a lunatic.
Raving lunatic. He's right. I'm not gonna.
I can't wait for it.
Sorry.
And now Twitter got what they want. I like it. This is good. Let's do this. Society, let's get in there. Because, you know, the worst thing in the world is getting what you want, my old man always said. So, yes, let's do this, Brittany. Let's go for it. You've got all the money, and now her kids are going to have to live there, and then we're going to watch her kids grow up to be Brittany. Oh, magnificent.
I love just this. Lesotho is the worst, according to Snay. And this is interesting. Sub says, prisons should be for rehabilitation, not punishment. If you punish inmates, they come out angrier and more advanced than the ordinary citizen, and the ordinary citizen shall reap the product of the punishment. Yeah, that's probably true, but in this country we know for a fact that people come out of prison much worse than when they go in. So, you know, especially if you're like a petty criminal and you get convicted of, like, I don't know, dealing weed or something, you know, something really unimportant to society like that. And they put you in there with those real animals, you know, those monsters. Then that's bound to make you a much worse person when you come out. And Kanda Kulu says, guys, prison in the DRC, yo, people just disappear. Oof.
So where?
Like disappear off the face of the earth or just disappear out of the prison system? Because then they could have just disappeared back into rotation.
You never hear from them again. Maybe they get turned into food. It wouldn't be unheard of.
Stop it. Turned into food.
I'm telling you. Michael has a really interesting story. He says, I remember getting a message from the guy who had robbed my house. He asked if I could send him some money for tobacco as there was none in prison. That's when I knew something was not working.
Brilliant.
What, sir?
Brilliant.
The guy who robbed your house asked you for money for tobacco.
He obviously didn't take your phone, but he did take the number.
If I've been in your house and I've robbed you, we're close now. I can ask you for anything. And you know, in prison, tobacco is like a massive currency, like crazy, crazy, crazy. So he wanted to ball in prison. Michael, I hope you helped him out.
Do you know what the number one currency in prison is right at the moment? Airtime. Airtime is the number one commodity in prison. So if you can get those...
This is the number one commodity all over the world.
Yeah, well, that's also true. But I mean, in prison, Lebang is right that before it used to be things like tobacco or if you could get booze or if you could get like a knife or whatever it was. Those old school things. Now it's airtime.
Yeah, I always wondered, like, when you're seeing these challenges on the timeline, and you see, like, four guys in prison participating in the ring leader challenge or whatever, it's like, how? Y'all got a cell phone in jail, and, like, it's not even a thing anymore. I think they should just let it be, because how are guys in prison participating in social media challenges?
Right. And also, it's freedom privilege. Maybe the guys, hey, men are men. They probably want to speak to their boo as well. Just because I don't have civil rights doesn't mean I need to be seeing what my baby be up to. Hey, babe.
Well, here's an aside, and I know we talk about this often on the show, but in some ways, those people who want airtime in the prison are no different to those of us on the outside who spend our whole day on the phone. Like,
yeah.
Except,
look at that note from Robert Cunningham.
Yeah, what does Robert say? He says, on that, I'm doing work for a smaller distributor of airtime in the informal market. They alone purchase 70 to 80 million rand a day of airtime.
Yeah. What?
Unbelievable. It's nearly a billion rand a week, give or take. I mean, that is...
And that's what? The informal market. We're not talking about... You know, captains of industry and their fucking five friends who are buying millions of rands worth of airtime. We're talking about small-time people, even people who are unemployed maybe, who are spending 5, 10, 20, 50, 100 rand. And that's what they're buying. They're buying from people like Robert. And he's saying 70 to 80 million rand a day of airtime.
That's like that 5 rand airtime. 5 rand, 10 rand, 30
count
rand.
Count those 5 rands and 10 rands. It's a hell of a lot.
No wonder it's such a monopoly at the top there. I didn't these numbers are insane.
Yeah.
No wonder it's impossible to get a license.
Yeah, that's
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly right. Okay, well, it is just about time for us to get to the Burning Platform, which this morning we'll be joined by Brett Herron and Neil De Beer, who are both running as candidates for the mayoral seat in Cape Town. And we'll find out more about these two gentlemen in a little while. But Lebang, thank you for joining us. I hope that you and Pumi enjoyed your first foray together. You two were unstoppable, which is why I knew that it was a good idea to put you together. But Lebang, we'll catch up with you next week.
Yes, I'll see you guys next week and 11 o'clock till 12 o'clock, Life with Lebang on Cliff Central.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that today, Life with Lebang. That's another reason I brought you on this morning is to promo your own show. And we've got a big announcement this weekend about a recording that we did last week, which I kind of hinted at already, but I'm not allowed to tell you who it is yet. You'll find out in the next 2 days. But this is a big interview that we decided we had to get into the bag. And this person is a very important individual who doesn't do interviews.
We feel very special. Like, the fact that we got her to just be in the same room with us and talk to us was insane. So you're definitely going to want to stick around for that. I can't wait to see it.
Is it Lillian Dube?
So close, yet so far.
Although we love Lillian Dube. Nothing wrong with her.
Yeah, she is excellent. Only one rand a day. Death should not be something that you have to worry about. Or one rand a day.
Yo, she's balling off of that one bag. Like, she's sorted for life.
She is. All right.
Cheers, guys.
All right, thanks, Lebang. We'll check in with you later in the day today at 11 o'clock on cliffcentral.com, and also next week she'll be back on the show here. So we've got lots of stuff to get into on the Burning Platform. As I said, Brett Herron, Neil De Beer will be our guests. We've got to talk about the city of Cape Town. We'll see what the big issues are, and I've also got an email here from somebody called Nikita who wants to know if we can address two things on the Burning Platform this morning. So Pumi and I return with the Burning Platform and our special guests next. Stick around, cliffcentral.com on it's Thursday already. Yes. What happened here?
Cliffcentral.com.